So next slide. Yeah, this is a disclaimer. You can take a print screen of the presentation. Yeah, next slide. This is today's meeting agenda. First, a brief introduction will be given for the organization. Then investor presentation will be given by Shreya Madam. And then question answer will be taken. Next. Yeah, these are the guidelines of the call. Next. So, dear participants, welcome to the Q1 of the financial year 2026-27 earnings call and investor presentation of Synergy Green Industries Limited. Synergy Green Industries Limited is one of India's leading state-of-art foundries producing HJN, gray iron, and steel casting for wind turbines, wind gearbox, and general engineering industries in weight range of 3 to 30 metric tons. Synergy Green has an installed capacity of 45,000 metric ton per annum and in-house machining facility of 20,000 metric ton per annum. The company houses best-in-class equipment, IT infrastructure, and quality testing facilities, and is a top supplier to major wind OEMs as well as leading gearbox players in the world. SGIL is a state-of-art of the Shirvaghar Group. SGIL is a part of the Shirvaghar Group, which has diversified business interests over 80 plus year history spanning across sugar manufacturing, foundries, hospitality, market research, among others. We are having with us Mr. V.S. Reddy, Executive Director of a company, and Ms. Shreya Shirgaonkar, Associate Vice President. Now I would request Shreya Madam to give the highlights of quarter one of the financial year 2026-27 and take us through the development of the company. 41.
I put up there.
Ma'am, you are on mute.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll be splitting this presentation with a brief overview of the industry as well as the company profile before diving into the details of the business performance for the first quarter of FY27. The Indian wind global installations have been going on a good pace over the last financial year. Global wind annual installation growth was of 40% in 2025, with 165 gigawatts installed globally. By 2030, the global cumulative capacity is projected to exceed 2 terawatt. So this is expected to be driven by a 5.2% CAGR over the next 5 years. Similarly, India's wind annual installation growth has reached a record high of 6.34 gigawatts in FY26, and the installed wind capacity in 2030 is expected to reach 107 gigawatts from the current 51 gigawatts. So this is very positive for the industry. Looking at Synergy Green Industries Limited, we have state-of-the-art facilities based out of Kolhapur and Maharashtra. Our foundry capacity has been expanded to 45,000 tons per annum. And we have machining and surface treatment facilities. Machining facility can take up to 20,000 tons per annum. Besides this, we also have state-of-the-art NABL certified laboratories, best-in-class IT infrastructure, as well as quality certifications listed on the slide, including ISO 9001, 14001, 18001, 27001, and 50001. Besides this, we also have a 10 megawatt captive solar power plant capacity installed. We work with 6 out of the 15 leading global wind OEMs. These include global leaders, as well as one Chinese OEM, as well as Indian OEMs. Besides this, in the non-wind segment, we have several customers such as Terex, Ferromatic, L&T, Mahindra that we work with. Now, looking at the business performance for the first quarter, our annual capacity utilization at the end of FY26 stood at 93%, and this was on 30,000 tons of annual capacity. Since we have expanded the capacity to 45,000 tons per annum, we have in the first quarter reached 66% of our capacity utilization already, and we're ramping up. And for the entire year of FY27, we are expecting to reach 80% of the complete new capacity utilization. Looking at the summary of our financial results, in the first quarter, our production increased by almost 10% as compared to the first quarter of the previous financial year. Our total income for the quarter ended 30th June 2026 was 75.71 crores. Some factors that influence the Q1 performance, revenue performance, include the lower dispatches during the current quarter. And the reasons for this are that there are some delays in customer material lifting, as well as some prototype approvals with a particular customer that took longer than expected. However, this is expected to be normalized, and we are already seeing the prototype approval and customer lifting easing out in the second quarter. Additionally, the West Asia conflict has led to a lot of logistics disruptions in global logistics, and this has disrupted our export orders or export rollouts. The availability of ships was a little bit of a problem in the first quarter, and we're expecting that in the second half of the year, this should be eased out with more firm schedules for our exports. Our PBDIT margins for the first quarter stood at 7%, and absolute PBDIT stood at 5.3 crores. There are several factors that are influencing the PBDIT margins. In the first quarter, the raw material inflation impacted our PBDIT by around 200 basis points. This is majorly recoverable through our raw material indexation with customers with 1 quarter lag, which we are expecting to see in the second quarter of FY27. Secondly, we also had considerable consumable cost inflation in the first quarter, and this impacted margins by nearly 300 basis points. This again is partially recoverable in the second quarter with a quarter's lag by customer price revisions. Besides these, there have been revisions in the electricity policy as well as tariff revisions for electricity, and these impacted margins by another 100 basis points. The company is offsetting these through an additional 5 MW of wind PPA, which is signed via open access, besides higher production volumes. This is a snippet of the balance sheet at the end of the first quarter. Now we'll dive deep into the revenue streams as well as the PBDIT for the period. So, comparing purely the first quarter of the current financial year with the first quarter of the previous financial year, the export revenues saw a marginal drop in this first quarter. And the major reason for this, as mentioned earlier, is because of the global disruptions in the logistics. For the complete year of FY27, we're expecting a 33% revenue growth as we expected earlier, and we remain positive on it because of two reasons. The first being the additional capacity is coming online, and we'll re realize increasing benefits from the same in the second half. And additionally, we're expecting revenues from new customers also starting from the second quarter. For the entire year, we remain positive on a 33% growth in total revenues over the previous year, and we're expecting to reach the 500 crore mark. The PBDIT for the period moderated in Q1. However, for the complete year, we are still positive on the PBDIT margin, which is expected to improve by around 300 basis points over the previous financial year. This is going to be mainly driven by higher volumes, increased export concentration, which is towards the second half of the year, and growing contributions from our in-house machining facility, which is slowly moving from the development to serial production phase. Finally, as I mentioned, the guidance for FY26-27 performance remains intact, with a revenue growth of 33% for the complete year. Export revenues are projected to remain stable, contributing around 25-30%, and PBDIT margins are expected to expand by around 300 basis points year on year. With this, we'll open up the Q&A session. So,
Yeah, good evening, all of you. If anyone have got any questions, you can raise your hand and we'll go with the Q&A session. Thank you. I will take this question. Somebody has typed a message in the chat box. With 30-40% growth expected this year, and the massive Vestas contract starting in 2007, this SJN is right, starting in 2007, execution is clearly the key. Could you update us on the two critical execution fronts? First, what is the current progress on acquiring the new land to solve the impeding capacity shortage? And second, what is the exact status of the prototype samples for the new Nordex and Vestas 5 megawatt? I'll try to answer this one. See, the first part is, as far as the land is concerned, the existing capacity of 45,000 tons doesn't have any linkage with the land, because this capacity is already in place. The second part of the land which we are talking, that is mainly for moving up to 100,000 tons capacity actually. So that we are targeting to acquire that piece of land maybe by end of this financial year, which is in progress actually. Now, coming back, as far as the development of the products is concerned, there are two products which we're talking about. One is a Nordex. Nordex 5 megawatt parts, first quarter, we got the clearance for the proto approval and all. We already having a purchasers for the, mainly for the US market exports actually, you know. So it is coming in a very good numbers. So that is one. So Nordex, we're operating on a 5 megawatt platform. As far as Vestas is concerned, that is on the 4 megawatt platform. So this contract we signed in the mid of May with the Vestas. So now the tooling development, we have started with the Vestas. Vestas earlier, we were working on a 3 megawatt platform. So that 3 megawatt platform is getting phased out and getting moved up to 4 megawatt actually. You know? This is mainly intended for the export market. As far as Vestas revenues are concerned, we are expecting some samples moving in the month of Q4 of this financial year. And Q1 of next financial year will be coming full-fledged, the production actually. You know? But till that time, we have an existing platform running that is on a 2 megawatt and a 3 megawatt platform. Still, there will be some kind of a revenue contribution will be happening actually. Thank you. May I request Mr. Jignesh to unmute yourself and go ahead with your question, please?
Yeah. So, sir, since our capacity has come on stream and we are facing challenges due to various issues, so going for the next three quarters, since we already have relationship with many customers, so what kind of challenges that we may encounter further? Because our margin improvement needs to happen, which is last two quarters we are seeing this.
No, see, I'll tell you two parts of it. In fact, if I look at the margins, margin consists of the particularly Q1, what we're talking about. It has got the events which are beyond our this thing, you know, mainly because of the West Asia conflict. There are certain commodities, I'll say consumables, because of the crude oil increase, one of the consumable, we call it as a firandazine, it is the third largest spending in our organization. That price has shot up by 60% actually. Okay. Of course, some of the customers get compensated on a quarterly basis, but some of the customers contribute on an annual basis as far as the consumable is concerned. And the second part is on the commodity, that is the pig iron and CRC, whatever is there. So there is a inflation because of the shortage of material for two reasons. One is the Indian market gets fed with a lot of imported scrap actually, you know. Because of the shipping constraints, There is a challenge in importing the raw material by the traders or the dealers in the ground, actually, no? That is one. The second is the scrap industry gets fed through the local recycling of the material from the old plants and so on and so forth. Due to gas shortage supply, so there is an issue in recycling the scrap as well. These two things are putting a lot of pressure on the commodities, actually, no? So one is on the commodity side. As far as commodity is concerned, it's a straightforward conversion with a one quarter lag, which many a times I've quoted with all the majority of the investors, that we get a pricing impact based upon the 3 months weighted average price will be the next quarter price. So if this current price is as good as the same price, my prices get stabilized. But if the current price is higher than the previous quarter, again, this price will get corrected in the next quarter. So when you are in the upward cycle, there will be a lag. When there is a downward cycle, you will gain out of it. So these are the two parts which we are talking about. One is the commodity. Second is the consumers. Third part I would like to say, which Shreya has highlighted, on the energy cost, particularly fuel and this thing. Particularly, we buy something out of PNG, LNG and all those things. So that prices have shot up by 60-70% actually, no? Because in the commercial market, even though these guys are maintaining the crude oil price, but on the commercial side, they have significantly increased the prices actually, no, of the PNG. And one more important thing is, in the month of April, MSEDCL has revised their policy actually, wherein they have taken out the banking of solar system. Of course, there is a temporary impact on the balance sheet today. What these guys have done is, whatever the power generation happens in the solar system, between 9 to 5 a.m., earlier we had a relaxation, we can use that power anytime. But recently, with effect from April, they have stopped allowing the banking of these units to the other zones, what we call it, actually. Because of that, we lost around 30-40% of the energy which is generated by our solar, were not able to use in our own consumption. That is considered as a lapsed unit, actually. Not only that, what the MSEDCL done is, this was done by retrospective. Just I would like to elaborate on this. Actually, earlier, High Court has given in favor, this in a consumer favor, but later it has gone to the higher court. And finally, it gone into the MSEDCL favor. So with that, MSEDCL has implemented this policy with a retrospective measure. So because of that, we got a one-time impact of a retrospective expenses, whatever the thing they have recorded from us in the current quarter. So all these things, if you bundle out together, so it has put a pressure on the margin. But this is again a one-off transaction. Actually, no, I don't see as any impact on the long term. So the second part is, we've done an expansion. One is on the foundry. Yes, we are already in the ramp up. In fact, in the month of July, our utilization goes almost 85% plus. We are touched around 3,200 ton kind of production levels. We expect to reach almost 90% level within maybe 2-3 months actually. No, we have got a good schedule. So there is no problem on the execution side. As far as machining is concerned, we have already completed 50% of the products development. In fact, last month we have done a 50% of the machining capacity utilization has happened. Now, these are all big products. It goes through the component approval and all those things. Then once it converts into sale, then that is where you will be able to see in the margins actually. No? That is the reason why when Shreya has mentioned, we're still maintaining our overall guidance of which we are given in the last quarter of overall the 500 crores revenue and also 300 basis point increase in our margins. We don't see any threat in that. On the contrary, in the second part of the quarter, I have got a good schedules from the exports actually. No? And dollar is also running around 95-96. That is also giving a good strength for us. Because first quarter revenue doesn't have much of exports component actually. No? Even whatever I had, I could not do exports because there were delay in shippings. Mainly what happens when the components like ours, 5 megawatt for the Nordex or anything, it needs a flat rack, what we call. There is a lot of scarcity for the flat rack. If there are shipping constraints, this becomes even more aggravated with the problem actually. No? That's the reason why even though we've done a 10% higher production, but it is not reflecting in the revenue. It is mainly because of the revenue recognition actually. No? I hope I answered you, Mr. Jignesh.
So, sir, as we are keeping our margin guidance also in line with what we projected earlier?
Absolutely. That's what she has mentioned. Huh? Yes.
Okay.
See, so one quarter is a too short a period to evaluate. And at the same time, when so many events are happening, mainly because of this war and other things, but still we don't see any the challenge in meeting the both on the revenue guidance and also margin guidance actually, no?
Two things, like the outsourcing of machining that was done last quarter will not happen now in next 2-3 quarters, right? So
It
that
will
one
come
challenge
down.
is over.
See, we
Yeah.
are not installing 100% in-house facility. If you remember well, our conversion, we have
Okay.
planned for a 40% or 50% in-house machining. So that is
Correct.
gradually coming up. So to that extent, my cost of machining will come down actually, no?
Right. And the second is, if we have executed the orders, but if the offtake is slow, then that 500 crore might spill over to first quarter of next year, right? That some part from of Q4.
Oh, see, we have today a good capacity. It is too early to, it should not be a very big spillover, maybe 1-3%. Means it will not be a big percentage, actually, no? It may go on the other side also because things go in a positive. We should be able to fairly reach that 500 crores mark, actually, no? The first part
Okay.
is, see, for doing the sales, I need to have a production. The first quarter, I have not lost any production. We have done a production. Only thing, it would not convert into sales, actually, no? Even if I look at in the current quarter, which is running, what we have done in the entire quarter, we are doing it in less than half of the time, actually, no? That's the kind of the flow rate is happening now. The things are getting eased out, actually, no?
Okay. Sir, hoping to see at least some better margins from this next quarter onwards, sir.
Yes. Means, see, ultimately what happens when we do a CapEx, when so many uncertain things are happening, certain things are beyond our control. But I don't see anything has happened on the customer side or on the our plant. In fact, I would like to mention one important thing. One of the key thing is the machining, actually, no? We are very successfully established the machining process. In fact, that is a new technology for us. Barring that foundry we're doing for last 1.5 decade, or even renewable solar is also passive investment, actually, no? Machining is the most critical part of our CapEx. So we could successfully develop almost 50% of the customers and got the product approval. And cycle times, whatever we have projected, that is also coming reasonably progressing well, actually, no? So considering all those aspects only, we're providing you the guidance. Because one of the key thing for our margin achieving is the output from our machine shop and increase in our production. So we see that on the ground, actually, no? So
Okay.
I request, yeah, thank you. I request Mr. Sanjeev Marwah to unmute yourself and go ahead with your question, please.
Thank you so much, sir. My question has been answered.
Okay,
Thank you.
thanks a lot. Mr. Parth Kotak, can you please unmute yourself and go ahead with your question, please?
Hi, sir. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Doing good.
Very well, sir. So our production number at 66% utilization would be about 7,400 metric tons. Is
You
that the
are
right
right.
understanding?
You are right.
And so then our realization have spiked up sharply, right? At about
Not
100.
like that. You have to see the everything what we produce is not got sold. There is an increase in inventory, right? Because as we mentioned, I have produced higher, but I could not sell because of the shipping constraints or the product approval. See, there are three events happened. In case of exports, I had a challenge in getting the ships for exporting this component. Second, in case of another local OEM, we had a good amount of inventory, but there is a proto approval is required. So we have dispatched the sample. Once I got the dispatch, within no time, we dispatched all those material, actually, no? That spill over to the current quarter, actually.
Sure,
So we have
sure.
produced the material. It is only a revenue recognition only. It's not reflecting on the balance sheet, actually.
Okay, so fair to understand that realization would be same as probably the average of last year at about
Yeah. There is
120.
no change in the realization. Yes, there is no
Okay,
change there. Yeah.
interesting.
Okay.
And we've also seen a sharp jump in other income. This is what, sale of power? Is that other income? 4 crores rupees, I think we've reported 4.4 crores rupees of other
No,
income.
I don't think. Huh? What is that? Maybe, Foreign exchange related things. That's all. Or some incentives what we get from the exports what we do. Barring that, I don't think there is any other sale of asset or anything. There is nothing like that. Is it 4 crores? I don't
No,
think it's.
sale of power, I meant. I think you mentioned some sale of
No, not sale
PPA.
of power. What I'm trying to say is sale of power, I'm not quoted.
No. So power is 5 MW wind PPA that we have signed.
Ha. Okay. See, we are not talking sale of power. We have entered into the what do you call power purchase agreement, PPA, for the 5
Correct.
megawatt wind power, actually, no? So in this, what we are going to do is we are having 10 megawatt of captive solar, which is already feeding our production line. That
Sure.
takes care of only 1/3 of my energy need. Apart from that, I do have a space to buy some open access. Like as I mentioned, there is a change in policy from 1st of April in MSEDCL. In that, they also brought one more regulation. Earlier, there was a strict regulation to get the open access, like wind actually, no? Means I need to invest. But today, they have eased out that rule. One side, they've increased the tariff. Another side, they've also eased out the open access rules actually, no? Today, it permits me to go and outsource the wind power actually, no? So it will give some small savings. The overall energy cost will come down. So considering that aspect, we have done a 5 MW power purchase agreement over and about 10 megawatt solar. So today we are getting almost 50-60% of the power with our own sources actually, no? But again, the spread margin with the 100% captive will be much higher compared to the open access, because there will be another investor will be standing in between. But still, that cost of purchase of power from the open access will be slightly cheaper than the buying from the MSEDCL actually, no?
Okay, got it. And okay. So just some color on realizations. I mean, input costs, like you rightly mentioned, have gone up. We should have naturally seen some inflation in our realizations, right? I mean, they should have ideally spiked to about 150 levels, if not higher.
Yeah, that will reflect in the next quarter. See, earlier it used to be around 138, 140, almost 4 to 5 rupees, 145 plus kind of the relation should come in the upcoming quarters actually, no?
Okay. Yeah. And it's encouraging the higher production number, because I'm assuming these are all customized products. So it's not that we've produced and they're lying in inventory without basically a sales order to back these components. So I'm sure it will lead to
We don't produce any component without order actually, no? Yeah. That so, too, many a customers without having a letter of credit in my hand, I don't produce any casting actually, no?
Perfect.
We don't want to carry inventory in our book actually.
Perfect.
We all make to the orders. We don't make anything to stock.
Got it, sir. Great. Yeah. Thank you and all the Thanks, very best yeah. for the coming quarters.
Yeah. May I request Mr. Pratik Jain to unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hey, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, please.
So my first question is, you know, last time you had mentioned that we have a confirmed order book of around 600, 700 crores. What is the status? What is the status of it right now?
See, today also it remains, there are two parts of it. One is the ability of customers to give order. Second is ability of from the synergy to produce and execute actually. No? That's the reason why we are not mentioning in our presentation as an order book. We are saying as an executable order book actually. No? So tomorrow, if I have a higher capacity, I'm in a position to execute. So we can go ahead and pick up an order up to 600 crores. So today, considering all these hurdles and everything, the current the year, we have given a projection of 500 crores as the this thing, you know, executable order book. So if I have to go in the next next financial year, so that should be same with the same customer, same product, I should be able to execute 600 crores as well with the same products.
Very well. I mean, a related question to it was, you know, see, typically OEMs work with a very sensitive project timelines, right? And any delay can impact their IRRs. So in such situations, when there is some delay because of, you know, unforeseen circumstances, how do they manage typically? I mean, does it take a credibility hit for us, or how does the things get solved at their end?
See, in the, now the current quarter, if you look at, there are three different issues which we are talking about. The first part is for Nordex, which we are doing exports. These guys are trying to build the inventory in US because they are booking the orders. So they are procuring these castings in advance. So if there is a delay because of the shipping logistic issue, and they will manage their project because still they have not committed to the project, as you know. As far as the domestic two OEMs is concerned, one OEM, since it was on a proto approval, he has not counted into the project. As far as the last third OEM is concerned, he had some financial things, like as I mentioned, unless we get the letter of credit in our hand, we don't go ahead with the dispatch of the material actually, no? So we hold the things because we don't want to get stuck with the receivables or those kind of things. So these three delays are because of the different reasons actually, no? This is not really affecting the projects which these guys have taken because of the Synergy Green. Means Synergy Green reputation is not at the stake actually, no? It is because of their own reasons. So for example, when I take someone like Nordex, the shipping is not in my scope. So from my side, I produce the casting, I made the castings ready. So it is the customer's responsibility to pick up this material to the US actually, no? So then it falls under his responsibility.
Got it. And so my second question was on the solar side. You mentioned that there was some retrospective impact because of the court order. Can you please mention the quantum of it?
See, typically we generate around 12 to 14 lakh units with a 10 megawatt. That is between January to May, April period with a summer season when I say. So out of that 14 lakh units, I had to swell out almost 4 lakh units needs to be it's unrealized units actually. No, means what these guys are saying is any units generated between 95 must be consumed in 9 to 5. This is the regulation what they brought actually. No, earlier they were adjusting this extra generator units even morning 6 to 9 also. So I was able to consume all the units. With this new regulation, we lost around 3 to 4 lakh units per month. Even though we generated the electricity, but that did not translate into the savings in my electricity cost actually, no. But now in the current quarter, since our production has gone up, so one is our power consumption has gone up, so we are able to reduce this the units wastage actually, no. So in the month of July, I hardly see any wastage in the electricity actually, no, which was there in the earlier 3 months. And one more thing, coming back to the retrospective, what these guys have done is this is not restricted to only January. So from earlier court order, so whatever the concession they were given for the banking, we call it as a banking. Banking means if you are generating electricity between 9 to 5, but you are consuming in the morning 6 o'clock, so that excess units what you could not utilize, they were allowing us to use through the banking system in the later rest of the period. So that banking is abolished, means they are not allowing for any banking. So these guys have done the reversed the all those energy costs which they have given as savings. So they are asking us to give back that money. So that is come with a retrospective, you know. Again, they are not collecting the whole money overnight. They have spread it across the 6 months period, actually, no. So that is where it has given the impact of this because of this court order.
Got it. So just to simplify it for myself, you know, earlier my understanding was that there will be an annual savings of roughly around 10 crores per year. So incrementally, given now our utilization is going up, the 10 crore quantum is still intact.
That will be intact, barring I lost the opportunity in the last 3 4 months because I did not know the rule. Means the earlier this banking policy was there, we produced the solar and we got the benefit from the MSEDSL, but that has been reversed by the with the new court order actually, you know. So going forward, since our production has gone up, so there is no change in the status quo as per the savings of 10 crores from the energy cost is concerned.
Got it. And so my next question was on machining. You mentioned that, you know, the ramp up is happening nicely. Wanted to check, are you able to see the realization benefit because of machining?
Yes, absolutely. Because see, this was a directly paid to my vendor, actually, no. Today is not reflecting in my balance sheet. Like one of the OEM, I have machined around 20 sets. It is lying in my shop because I have not dispatched. See, when we assess the inventories, that is done in assessed at a cost price, actually, no. We cannot assess it based on the realizable value. So once these components get dispatched, that converts into the realization, and you know, straight away it will have a savings from my outsourcing cost as far as my in-house machining is concerned.
So it matches the value that you had calculated earlier in terms of margin savings.
Absolutely.
Got
Absolutely.
it. And just last question on this, you know, it might be a little early, but you know, assuming that you execute this in this 45,000 ton capacity, let's say by next year, how are you thinking about you know, next CapEx cycle? I mean, next CapEx quantum, like at what time you will decide that, you know, when will you start, when the fundraising will happen, etc.
See, we are looking at a Q3, Q4 should give a very good positive thing actually, no? Because we have got a good order book and machine shop is stabilized and I've got a good export this thing and also good contribution should be happening. With that, we would like to say at least 2 or 3 good quarters to go ahead with the take the next project. And meanwhile, what we are trying to do is acquire the land. So that is where we have identified a land and discussion is in progress. So we are targeting to acquire this piece of land maybe by December or before March for sure, actually, no. If the land is there, already performance is there. So maybe next year, Q3, we'd like to initiate the project. So to answer your specific question, funding, maybe Q1 or Q2 of next year should be the ideal time for take up this subject, actually, no.
Got it.
That is FY28 I'm talking about. Yeah.
Got it, got it. And just a follow-up. So typically, you know, we have experienced that last our 15,000 ton capacity expansion was a brownfield, but you know, some challenges come here and there, right? When you will be going for a next greenfield CapEx, what is the typical timeline where, you know, when we start the groundwork and till the time it comes on stream, what is the typical timeline?
It should happen between around 15 months. 15 to 18 months is a good time, actually, no?
Got it. Got it. Super. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. May I request Ms. Praneeth to unmute yourself and go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to understand in terms of us, we started putting an effort in towards getting orders in the power sector also, right? How has that been going so far? Because you mentioned that you produce a lot. Was it because of this particular segment, or is it just the wind you produce a lot more this time?
We received orders from the power sector, mainly from the coal-based thing. One is from L&T, I've got the order. The development is already started. And this quarter, I've also received a purchase order from the BHEL as well, actually, no? So that development also we're initiating. But it will take some time before it converts into the revenue. L&T may happen faster, but BHEL is a very critical component. It's an import substitute. It may take a little longer time for the development, maybe 8 months, 9 months kind of the lead time, actually, no, for the development. But these two orders are the flowing. In fact, since you highlighted the non-wind portion of it, we are also getting good order book on the non-wind side also. Particularly, I'm talking about the mining. Because of the currency depreciation, the local, the OEM, that assembly plant what they have, they're getting a lot of orders for the US and Europe, actually, no? So now they're asking us to ramp up for the non-wind segment. And in fact, I've also got their counterpart in UK for the export of the components. So non-wind side also looks pretty good, actually, no?
So you're mentioning that the customers for power and the mining sector are similar, or we're doing mining sector spares?
No. See, power sector is something that this coal-based power plants, what I'm talking about, means, of course, I'm not wind also power, but I'm not mixing the wind. Wind is the renewable side, what we're talking about. Mining is a different the segment, actually, no?
So
Someone
are
like
these
direct.
new?
Yeah.
Got it, sir. I'm just
Yes.
trying to understand, are these new customers or the existing customers just giving more orders?
Is the existing customer giving more orders? For example, when I mentioned Terex, Terex, we're doing business with them almost from the inception of this company. It's almost 15 years of relationship with us. They also have a similar, same product, same model running in UK, actually, no? Since the currency has changed the game, so now they are trying to source from India itself, actually, no? One is for the domestic procurement, also for the international procurement, actually, no?
Before to this, were they procuring from China, sir, or was it procuring from
Yes,
Europe
you are right.
itself?
You are right. Because in the last 1 year, that yuan appreciation against INR has changed this scenario, actually, no? Like it's almost 20% appreciation against the rupee. Now that has tilted towards in favor of the Indian suppliers.
So net of other than duty, let's say production measures, how much cheaper are we? Like, what is the price difference between China and India without duty measures?
Again, it can vary from OEM to OEM depending on the volumes and the design and all. To my in our calculations, we believe anywhere between 5 to 10% we should be cheaper on a landed cost basis as far as the wind products is concerned, actually, no.
And non-wind, sir, is it better? Is it more?
Non-wind is not comparable because I don't have the numbers. We generally supplying to the Indian OEM for last 15 years. He never gone to the import section, no, for many reasons. Because non-wind is a different thing because that comes with a customs duty. But exports, of course, we were not competitive because it was coming from China. But today, that customer is prioritizing Indian suppliers. So mainly is because of, I believe, the 20% gap, whatever was there. So that gap is bridged because of the currency.
Understood, sir. So is it worth us putting more effort into non-wind? Because like all our peers also expanded capacity, so we might be getting some pressure there, right? So would it be worth going into this?
And yeah, we wish we want to do everything for night, but we have already taken up certain direction like wind, because we also made big commitments on the wind side. Also, we need to take care of them because many of the customers, particularly I'm talking about the US market, I believe they have some projects. It is incentivized for the non-Chinese suppliers. This is what my understanding has come. So with that, they don't have a choice to go anywhere in the world. Means alternate to China, it is only in India or Taiwan or something like that. But hardly there are many foundries beyond China, actually, no. So these customers putting a lot of pressure on us for not to divert this capacity to any other industry, actually, no. And they are chasing us on a weekly basis. So that's a good situation. So since this customer is already standing, so we need to take care of one who is already standing in front of us rather than searching for a new customer, actually, no.
Got it, sir. So basically, wind also seems to be much more positive compared to, let's say, 2, 3 years ago also. So that's why you think wind will still drive most of it.
Yes, because I think wind hardly realized anything, actually, if you have to look at the real numbers. Particularly if I take up the US market, now again, this everywhere this currency comes into the picture. Today, whatever the earlier gap was there, so that gap is significantly taken out, actually, no. So then we are equally competitive in the US market. And particularly when you go to the US, they have a lot of priority for the Indian suppliers over the Chinese, actually, no. So that way, I don't see any problem for the demand. Means at least with this 45,000, I can't think anything outside the customers, one who's standing in front of us. But if at all I have to go beyond, we would like to add some more customers in 100,000 ton plus kind of the capacity. That is where we're trying to build the additional clients like L&T or BHEL and all, wherein non-wind side also there is a good opportunity. Today, it is very difficult to accommodate additional customers in the existing. Because when I add more customers into the existing production line, my productivity goes down, means my complexity goes up. So we cannot complicate and compromise on the productivity and the cost of manufacturing, actually, no. So we need to have a broader capacity to handle this demand.
Understood, sir. Just one last question. You mentioned that you're acquiring land. Is it close by to our existing plant, or would it be further away? Because there's some
No,
customer,
we
I
are
think wind
thinking of
customer.
neighboring. We are thinking of neighboring land only. So this is committed by the officials that this will be allocated to Synergy. We hope that will come in our hand very soon.
Sir, but is there any merit to putting plants in southern India or something like that? Because a lot of our wind OEMs are located near Chennai and all of those ports. So is it worth looking into that?
No, I don't think so. See, it's other way around, actually. No? Kolhapur happens to be a central part of India. Means we are equidistant to the northern clients because many installations happen in Gujarat, Rajasthan, and all. So when you go to south, the distance traveled will go up more than 2,500 kilometers, actually. No? So today we're standing at equal distance from south. That is, Chennai is 1,000 kilometers, and the Ahmedabad is also 1,000 kilometers. So Kolhapur is a better place. The second part is, it's not an easy job to manage foundries in two different locations. One is, then I need to develop new set of team to manage a foundry in south, actually, no. So one is time taking, then cost of operation goes up. So when I look at developing a next foundry, that is up to 100,000 tons plus kind of thing, it is always good to develop locally, actually, no. If it happens to be neighbor, there's a lot of existing resources can be shared for the new plant. I need not replicate the infrastructure again for that. And the time required for the developing that plant will be much lesser compared to going to a new place and developing this technology, actually, no?
Understood, sir.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
That's it from my side.
May I request Mr. Amitabh to unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Doing good. Yes, please.
Okay, great. Sir, I wanted to have your understanding on one particular client or potential client. Earlier, you used to mention their name like Adani, which has been developing 5 MW plus and even offshore kind of wind turbines. So, are we participating in their supply chain, and or we have some alternate view, or are we going to be integrated with their supply chain at all? That's my question.
Okay, see, as far as Adani is concerned, the 5 MW parts in their design, slightly it is going beyond 30 metric ton. In India, as of now, nobody has produced above 30 metric ton casting. So these castings are imported from China. Now, coming back, Adani is also in the process of developing, are already developed, next platform, are a slightly lower platform, that is a 3.3 megawatt. In 3.3 megawatt, we have already developed the product. That is where we are mentioning the approvals and all has just happened, and it is in the serial production, actually, no. Now, coming back, as far as 5.2 megawatt is concerned, we are supplying only one part which we are capable of producing, that is a bearing housing. That's about 6-7 ton casting. Barring that, rest of the castings we cannot attempt because of our capability limit of 30 metric ton maximum size, actually, no.
Okay. And one follow-up on that, since there is a possibility of some incentive for offshore wind turbines establishment. Adani is already involved there. So are we going to participate into this, or we will be left out because of a Chinese alternative supply chain which Adani might be enjoying?
To my understanding, not only for me, even for the many OEMs, I had a lot of interaction with the OEMs or even industry experts and all. Offshore is a time-taking job. I believe it will definitely will not be hitting in a big volumes, at least for next 5 years, or even it may take 10 years, actually, no. Even I had interactions with many Europeans, one who did the offshore and all. It's a very long time-taking process, actually, no. It's not about my wish to produce the casting. It needs a lot of infrastructure. Today, I have a struggle to move a 20 or 30-ton casting here to Gujarat or Rajasthan, actually, no. But if I have to ship out a 10-megawatt or 20-megawatt offshore casting, this casting cannot be moved out in India. It needs a comprehensive structure closer to the port. That is how the China or European countries have built that infrastructure. I don't think even in India we have initiated that process, actually, no. So either if they have to do some prototypes, they can get some imports, and will not have much interest to just produce prototype and invest into such a big infrastructure, and you are not realizing the revenues, actually, no. We'd like to be in that game once it is smoothly going, not at an early phase, actually, no. Early phase will end up in heavy investments, but it will not give you big returns, actually, no. So it is also wise thing for them to initial phase manage with imports, and thereafter, once the volumes pick up, then localization. This is a better strategy. And again, these things needs to be with a dedicated corridor, maybe near to the port or something like that. Then only this cost viability is going to. So considering all those things, at least I'm not seeing any significant movement in the next 5 years. Of course, there are some requests from my European clients to produce a 5 megawatt parts. It doesn't mean 5 megawatt part means I need to produce all the parts. Say 2 parts I'm not able to produce. There are a lot more parts beyond a thing, which is a 7-ton part for a 3 megawatt. It may become 20-ton in the 5 megawatt also. Those parts also we can participate. So there is a lot of scope in doing that. But first, we'd like to concentrate on the market which is standing in front of us. In India, just moved from, say, 2 megawatt to 3 or 4 megawatt. This is where the sweet spot stands today. And I believe this is going to stay for next to 3 to 4 years, actually, no? And at the same time, the big players, they will keep on making an effort. Even government has also given an incentive. But in spite of giving incentive, it's not that it is going to take care of all infrastructural problems. This 7,500 crores is not a very big money. If I look at the offshore, the kind of investments, what it is required, no? It's going to take some time before the offshore hits in a big way, actually, no?
Okay. One final question with respect to the scheduling of orders. So, which are our top three OEMs where which and how much percentage they typically enjoys from our side?
See, Vestas is one of the largest OEM for last 10 years or 15 years. Earlier, he used to go above 40%, even 45, 48% kind of numbers. But now, since we are adding more and more clients, so even though his business has not come down, but because the other share of business getting allocated, and also we are increasing the capacity. Someone like Nordex is also becoming now the going to become. In fact, now just we have developed the complete, will give contributing us a sizable revenue. And third and fourth position keep on shuffling, actually, no, year in year. So sometimes back, Siemens Gamesa used to be a bigger player for us, but in between there was a management shuffle, so it has gone down. Again, it is coming back. Sometimes now today, Adani may become the third player. So it depends, actually, no, how the schedules flow. This keep on third and fourth, we'll keep on shuffling, actually.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you,
Yeah.
sir.
Mr. Praneet, I think you raised your hand again. Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. I did. So I just wanted to understand, you mentioned the cost associated with prototyping, right? What are usually these costs when you mention that they're heavy investment that you might need to put in?
No, just
Prototyping costs. For
offshore you're talking about?
So you mentioned during that when you were talking about Adani, you mentioned that in terms of prototyping and developing these products, sometimes it's not worth it because there's a lot of investment going into it. So I was just trying to understand when you mean investment and time going into it, what are the
No,
exact
I'm talking
things?
about the offshore, actually, no. You mentioned offshore. So
Yeah.
offshore prototyping is an expensive exercise, actually, no. One is producing a 30-ton component is much simpler, but when you want to produce 60-ton, it is not 30 becomes 60. The infrastructure cost may go to threefolds or fourfolds, actually, no. It doesn't go up by twofolds. So when you invest such kind of big money, you will be investing a lot of money during the proto and development, actually, no. So you will not be able to get good returns. So since there is enough business in the onshore itself, so first we would like to focus upon next 5 years, answer itself. If I have to speak to some of the OEMs, out of top 15 OEMs, there are six, seven OEMs, they say, I don't want to go offshore for at least next 10 years, because that is their objective statement. Because one who's in an early phase or in the established or the volume pickup, as long as they have a business, so they don't want to go to the other market. One who has reached a very high level of maturity, one is 100 years old or 150 years old EM, and he has the ability to invest further capital to and become early entrant in the offshore game. That is how these investments happen, actually. No?
Understood, sir. So this casting market is mostly dominated by China, is it today? Or is it Turkey and eastern part of Europe?
No, Turkey is not much. It is China only. So in
Okay.
China, see, if you look at the total installation of the wind, it's 120 gigawatt roughly it happens. Out of the 50-60% is coming from China only. So whatever the domestic installations are happening, definitely those castings are fed. Castings are even entire supply chain is fed from the local China, since their market is so big and they're also competitive globally for the other markets, particularly the European markets I'm talking. As far as the US is concerned, we're able to compete equally because there are policy restrictions and other things actually, no?
Understood, sir. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sir, there are a couple of questions in chat box.
That's what I'm just trying to read. I think first question I've answered. The second, Vishal, we are working with six companies among top 15 companies. My questions are, how much time it take to onboard the new client? How much time it takes to make the prototype and approval? When and how orders are expected from the clients which are already approved out of the samples? Okay. Out of six clients, if I had to spell out, today Vestas is running on a 3 megawatt platform. We are already in serial production, but now they are moving to the 4 megawatt. Typically, for any new product, it takes between 6 to 8 months to onboard. I'm not talking six new customer, I'm talking new product with the existing customer. So if we have to build a new customer, generally it takes about 2 years because there are a lot of audits and procedural processes, things will be there. So as far as Vestas is concerned, we believe that somewhere the protos should be delivered by end of this year, but ramp up and other things will happen in the fourth quarter of the current financial year, actually, no? So that is as far as Vestas is concerned. Gamesa today is operating, or Vayana, it's been taken over by Vayana. They are operating around 3.3 megawatt platform. It is a mature product, and we are already in a serial production. And Nordex, it is a new product, 5 megawatt. We have just come out of the development. We have just already started the serial production. So these are the three OEMs I spoke about. Envision in an early phase that we are in a development. So that may take another 3-4 months before it go for the serial production, actually. No? So I mentioned about the four OEMs. And the fifth OEM, Adani, we have already completed the development. We almost come to the serial production, you know. The sixth OEM, Senvion, also in the sixth production. To answer comprehensively about your question, out of six OEMs, four OEMs are in production, two OEMs we need to yet to complete, actually, no? And what is that? When orders? Yeah, I think I answered. Now, coming back to Mr. Gulam Soni, I have two questions. Are we having any discussion with the domestic OEMs like Adani of increasing the speed of execution as the timeline of Interstate Transmission Scheme waiver deadline is June 30th, 2028? Are these 5 megawatt plus wind category products of higher margin? See, the margin part is dependent not on the size of the turbine. It depends on the region where we sell. For example, if you make a higher megawatt class turbine, you get a good productivity because the time what it takes for a producing a 15-ton casting with a 10% or 15% increase in resources, we can produce a double the output, actually, no? So indirectly, if I had to say, yes, slightly comes with a better margins, but it will also come with a competitive pricing, actually, no? So it is difficult to conclude that higher megawatt gives a higher price relation. But when you go to the offshore, as I know, the pricing realization is much, much higher than, it may be 50% higher or even 100% higher than the onshore. But again, since there are not much of volumes, it may not realize into the big contributions. In spite of getting a higher realization, I don't think you will make a big volumes unless you reach the capacity utilization, actually. So it is a little tricky thing. We cannot answer this straightforward, but this is how the whole thing works, actually, no? Now, coming back, I think Mr. Sushant Karmakar, give me sales in tonnage wise in quarter, and also how much tonnage material we keep in shop floor after a final the products. Generally, we carry an inventory of around 8 to 10 weeks actually, you know. So 6 weeks is the normal the lead time, and waiting time and others, we target to be keep below 8 weeks inventory in our shop. Yeah, I think there is no further questions. Nilay, one more, Mr. Jainam. Yeah, can you please unmute yourself and go ahead? I will take this last question. We are already 4:57. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Hope you are doing well. Just wanted to understand. So, like we mentioned that incrementally also, Vestas is sort of going to remain one of our large customers. But 2 years down the line, when we are clocking, let's say, 600 crores sort of revenues, would the concentration of Vestas still remain same, or we would like the incremental growth is majorly going to be driven by the other 2-3 customers that are going to ramp up?
See, Vestas is coming and asking for a more allocation actually. But today, since we are also parallel committing to other OEMs, we are trying to allocate the capacity to the new customers as well, as you know. As per our working, earlier it used to be 45-50% share of business from Vestas, may come down to 30%. And without revenue going down, still there may be a marginal growth, but significant growth is coming up because of the new OEMs adding from the zero base number set, you know.
So this new OEMs would be Nordex and Adani. Is it right to assume that?
You're right. Yeah, you are right. You are right.
Okay. And can you provide like what sort of split for these two OEMs could be in the 600 crores revenue?
See, today when we look at any of the six OEMs, right, they are all capable of allocating a revenue of 100 to 150 crores. This is the standard thing, you know. So that is where I am telling, if I have to allocate the equal size to all the six OEMs, today I have a capacity constraint. That's where I mentioned my order book goes much beyond than the capacity what I have, actually, you know. Apart from wind, we are also doing gearbox and non-wind. Today, non-wind and gearbox is contributing closer to 30% of current revenue. So in a 600 crores, still I am not left with more than 400 crores to allocate to the wind OEMs. So that is where the challenge we have in allocating to the wind industry, as you know. Today, we are able to manage all the customers because we are in an early phase of allocating the capacities. For example, Envision, we are in an early phase of development and all. Still, we are not gone to that. There is a big pressure from these OEMs also to quickly allocate the capacity. But we are trying to take time before we add additional capacities. Then we will be able to give them a meaningful capacity allocation for the rest of the OEMs, actually, you know. Since it takes about 2 to 3 years to stabilize and build a relationship with any new OEMs. So that is where we are utilizing the time to build new OEMs and parallelly ramp up with the existing customer.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think he is talking about the ISTS scheme. Interest rate is, I don't think I have... you know, whether a scheme is there or not there, that is an immaterial thing. Today, the wind industry has got a much higher demand compared to the solar. This has happened in state, like when we are talking about in the beginning, our power tariff has reversed. This is a favorable thing for a wind industry. Earlier, the wind and solar were treated at a same platform, at the same level. Today, they are giving more incentives for the wind industry. For example, wind generates electricity in the night time. So the tariffs are given 25% higher in the night, and daytime tariffs, which is generated by solar, is going at a 25% discount. Means there is a 50% tariff differentiation between wind and solar skewed towards the wind industry, actually, you know? So I don't think this, any schemes and other things, there may be, whether it happens in 27, 28 or has got any bearing under the execution on the wind industry side, actually, no? Yeah. Nilesh?
Yes, yes.
Can you conclude the session? I don't see any further questions. Yes. Yeah. Thank you all for the joining. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for detailed discussion, Vetti sir. So on behalf of the entire Synergy Green management team, we thank all the investors and analyst community for joining today's call. Thank you once again.
Thank you all. Thank you for joining. Yeah.